Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Stories here about Jesus being the Lord of the Sabbath. He's more than just the Lord of the Sabbath, but this particular wants to focus on that, but not just focus on it. You know, the problems people run into interpreting this passage is they just want to focus on the fact that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. But if all he is telling the people they needed to follow the law, then all Jesus came to do was tell people to be good Jews. And I think there's a little more to it than that. Well, Jesus makes the rules in his kingdom. That's what this is about this morning. Jesus makes the rules in his kingdom. I mean, of course. I mean, if he's the king. He's a king without a house of lords. He makes the rules and the only rules for his kingdom. Jesus and his disciples were walking one day, a Sabbath day, through the grain fields. And the disciples were picking some of the heads of grain and eating them. The way you would do that is you'd rub it in your hands and you'd eat the kernels that remained after you got the chaff off them. That was perfectly legal. They were hungry and they began to pluck it. Deuteronomy 23:25 says, if you're going through your neighbor's field and there's some standing grain there and you're hungry, you can pick some and you can eat it. No problem. In fact, Deuteronomy 23:25 says nothing about the Sabbath day. It just says, if you're passing through somebody's field and you're hungry, go ahead and eat it. Well, the Pharisees decided, or some of them at least, that it was not okay to do this because the disciples were harvesting food. Now, in fact, if you really looked at Deuteronomy, as we went through earlier, there was a specific rule about not harvesting your neighbor's fields anytime. It wasn't that you couldn't harvest your neighbor's fields on the Sabbath. You were not to go through your neighbor's fields and take your neighbor's food anytime, whether it was the Sabbath or not. So there's this really confusion there about what work was and what harvesting was and what day of the week anything was to be done on. The very law that permitted eating the grain clearly stated that harvesting another's grain was prohibited. If harvesting was prohibited, could what they were doing in that moment be considered harvesting? Well, of course, it couldn't. Nevertheless, Jesus did not even discuss that point with them. The matters of interpretation often break down to two immovable sides. And this is true of Christians as well. You get a dyed-in-the-wool Calvinist and a dyed-in-the-wool Arminian together, and you have them discuss election. As the saying goes, you'll have more heat than light, right? You're not going to convince one to the other side. They've already heard that. So Jesus isn't going to take that angle with the Pharisees either. He's not going to debate the law with them and show them this or that. Instead, he says, let's just forget the law. Let's move on to the life of David, which is so much more interesting than the law, right? He tells them a story taken from 1 Samuel 21, 1 to 6. David was fleeing from the murderous King Saul. Now, don't forget, I'm going to take that. You have that little shelf in your brain called short-term memory. I want you to take that word murderous, put it on the shelf, and leave it there for a minute. Don't forget it there. You'll go home and you'll see your family and you'll think murderous thoughts. You must use that this morning. Put it on the shelf, but you need to take it back down when we get to a point. So here's what Jesus says. Have you not read? I love it when he starts that. Didn't you read the scroll? He's talking to Pharisees here. I should talk that way to you guys. Would you like that? And he's like, didn't you read the part in Paul? You know, it's so condescending when you say it that way. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and he ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. They went into the tabernacle. They took the showbread. They ate it. No. You don't do any of these things. Leviticus 24:1-9 states that this was for the priests to eat. The question then that Jesus is presenting to them is, why did David eat the bread? But I think the better way to phrase the question is this. Why did the priests feed David? You see, that's a different question, isn't it? To say, why did David eat the bread is not the same thing as saying, why did the priests feed David? Because David could have stolen the bread. He could have taken the bread, but that wasn't the case. The priest freely, voluntarily gave it to David. Why? Because the priests understood that people were more important than a rule about bread. That's what they understood. The priests understood that. Very simple concept. They knew that the bread was only bread. They're a big step up from Catholics and Lutherans, right? I mean, it's still only bread. And ultimately, that bread was going to be given to the priests anyway. Ultimately, it was going to be theirs to dispense of. Furthermore, the bread could be replaced, but the opportunity to help somebody in need would be lost if they didn't act immediately. God never sent a prophet to condemn the priests for giving the bread up, or to condemn David for the bread. David received bread because he was in need. And if the priests and David could break the law, this is Jesus' argument. Are you following this? If the priests and David could break the law because of someone's need, how could the Pharisees create their own rule and condemn the servants of another? To me, this is the important thing. It's who you condemn. It's the servant part. You see, if God doesn't condemn his priests or David, who are God's servants, if he says, this rule may be lifted or broken if you want, in this case, he can do that. Why? Because he made the law. So if he wants to say, in this case, it's obvious that love your neighbor as yourself is clearly the principle I've laid down for you, and it's more important than a piece of bread, I'm not going to eat it. The priests aren't going to eat it. Give it to David. He needs it right now. So only the master declares what's right for the servant to do. So Jesus is saying, you Pharisees, see, these disciples, they're in my kingdom. I'm the king. Here's my kingdom. And I don't even care what the law really says here about the whole thing, because even if we are doing the law, we're still obeying it. So shut up about that. But beyond that, these guys aren't following you. Did you notice they call me rabbi and they call you the Pharisees or whatever they call it? They don't call you rabbi. They don't belong to you. They're not in your kingdom. Therefore, you don't make the rules for them. And really, that's the whole point of this whole entire text. Jesus is not just calling people to following the law properly, but the Sabbath. He's saying, in my kingdom, I make the rules. See, that's why the story of David's important. He wasn't calling the people to follow the law better. Otherwise, Jesus would be condemning David and condemning the priests. But he wasn't. He's saying, the lawgiver, let it go. And Jesus is saying, these guys are in my kingdom. And if I say they can eat grain now, who are you to say otherwise? So then Jesus goes on to ask them another question. How come it's okay for priests to work on the Sabbath? I mean, just think about it. If the law says don't work on the Sabbath, but the law says priests have to do thus and such on the Sabbath, they're working on the Sabbath. And as you've most all of you heard me say, I love this. I love this. It's like, should people work on Sunday? I do every week. It would be so hypocritical for me to stand here on a Sunday morning and tell you you're not allowed to work on a Sunday. Can you imagine that? How could I do that? Hey, Christians have been doing that for hundreds of years. Now, have a day of rest, fine, whatever. You know, we have a lot of freedom. But let's keep things straight in our heads. Jesus is saying, how come priests can work on the Sabbath without being guilty of breaking the Sabbath? If priests can do the work of the temple on the Sabbath because it's the temple, then what about something, or in this case, someone with a capital S, who is greater than the temple? Speaking of himself. So let me read this for you. Have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. He said, I'm here. Jesus calls himself greater than the temple of the Lord. The reason the priests can break the rule of work is because they're following the rule of the temple. Jesus' point, there's some rules triumph over other rules. You know, it's this system, this hierarchy of rules. All rules aren't created equal, in other words. They aren't. One law can overrule another. The priests can break the law of working on the Sabbath because the authority of God protects them. The one who made the Sabbath rule also made the rules for the temple. So Jesus' point in this is really important. The disciples could not be guilty of breaking the Sabbath no matter what, because Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the rule maker of the Sabbath and everything else. Jesus, at this point, is equating himself with God. That's what he's saying here. Guys, I'm the guy. I made the rule for the temple, and I made the rule for the Sabbath, and we're picking grain today. That's what he's saying. So Jesus' point is really important. His disciples could not be guilty of breaking the Sabbath. More significantly, by being in the kingdom, the disciples were under his authority and were answerable only to the rules of the kingdom. You see, you miss the entire point of this text if you're just saying Jesus wanted them to follow the law and he was correcting them. You guys are legalistic. You need to get back to following the law alone. Let me show you why. I've said it a lot of times, and you're going to see this a lot from this point out. When Jesus met up with people, he always confronted them, not on how well they kept the law. He always confronted their value system. That's always what he was doing. And if you're missing that part of the story, then you will think, oh, Jesus was just telling they added rules to the law. Jesus was just calling them, he was a good rabbi, a real strict Jew, and he wanted them to follow the law. And you make that mistake. Christians make that mistake. They don't understand. Jesus is not talking about following the law here. He's talking about value system. He gets to that point in verses 7 and 8. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not have condemned the guiltless. And he's talking about his disciples. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the Son of Man and I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I'm Lord of it all. See, who's the Lord of the Sabbath? Well, the one who created it, right? When Jesus says he's Lord of the Sabbath, who is he calling himself? God. He's not the, well, there's God and then there's the Lord of the Sabbath. No, there's one and the same. It's the same guy. But Jesus is saying, this is the more important rule. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He's quoting from Hosea 6:6. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice. Ready for the rest of the verse? The knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Now, what comes earlier in that chapter in verse 3? Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. That same idea. Let's push forward and know the Lord. Know the Lord. I want you to have a knowledge of me, not just offering sacrifices. Well, what's God saying? The point is, you can follow laws and you can offer sacrifices and never know the Lord. That's the whole point, as Hosea was trying to make. And that's what Jesus is saying. Here you guys are. You're not picking grain on the Sabbath. I'm happy for you. You don't even know who you don't know. So knowing God is the important thing. Jesus is stating the rule of his kingdom. He's stating an issue of value system. They didn't know God because they didn't know his value system, because they thought not working on the Sabbath was more important than loving people. Jesus is saying, you guys are mixed up. You think bread is more important than people. But mercy is more important than sacrifice. Caring for the needs of others is more important to God than following any ceremonial law. If you keep laws regarding work but neglect the intent of the Sabbath law, which is caring for others, you fail to understand the Lord that made the Sabbath law. That's why when I tell you what the Sabbath is about, it's not about not working for a day. Why did God give the people the Sabbath? Come on. So they couldn't be exploited. That's it. And it says so, and I can give you the verse on it. Now, there's other reasons given, but it says very plainly, everybody needs a rest. And if I don't make it law, you won't give it to your workers. Simple as that. If you understand that the Sabbath law was intended to help them understand how to love each other and not exploit each other, you'll never be confused about feeding the hungry, depending on the day of the week. You see? That's why they couldn't grasp the idea of work and Sabbath. That's why they were so mixed up. Because in their thinking, keeping the Sabbath wasn't about your neighbor. It was about, for a lot of them, earning God's pleasure. And God said, if you want to earn my pleasure, feed people on the Sabbath. If we're in Jesus' kingdom, his authority protects us when we disobey any law in any other kingdom. That's the other part of this. It didn't matter what law the disciples broke. Just like it didn't matter that David broke a law, or the priests broke a law, or the priests worked on the law. It didn't matter. Because the one who makes the rules of the kingdom of Christ, if you follow his rules, don't worry about the other ones. The priests understood this when they fed David, but the Pharisees did not understand the clear teaching of the prophets, like Hosea. Jesus makes the rules of the kingdom. The second point I want you to get this morning is this one. It's never wrong to do good. You know, you think we're stupid. That's just obvious. Nope, it's not. I wish it was obvious. But I've been in the church too long. This is not obvious. It's never wrong to do good. After this first scenario, Jesus went on, and still the Sabbath, okay? He enters a synagogue, church for Jews, right? There was a man present. He suffered from a withered hand. It was affecting his working on the Sabbath, I'm sure, and many other things. The Pharisees wanted to trap Jesus, so they asked him if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath. Here's Jesus. Here's this man with the withered hand. And all they can think of is, this would be a great trap. You know, he just said, mercy, right? And they see this guy with the withered hand and say, we can use this guy. We can exploit this opportunity. See how corrupt their thinking is? They wanted to see if Jesus thought it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath. It's insane. It's just even difficult to comprehend that this would be the case. So Jesus responds with a rhetorical question about their value system. Okay? See if you can pick up the concept of value system in the answer. Okay? If your sheep falls into a pit on the Sabbath day and it's dying in there, will you lift it out? Well, of course we'll lift it out. Would you do the same for a man? Wait a minute, that might be work. How much more value does a man have than a sheep? That's what Jesus says. How much more value? Of course they'd lift their sheep out. Then Jesus changes the nature of the challenge. Let me read these verses for you here. Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. You know what he's saying? You guys are telling me I can't do good on the Sabbath. He's putting it right there in their face. The real thing you're saying to me is I'm not allowed to help somebody. I'm not allowed to do good on the Sabbath day. That's what you really think. Remember, it's a question of value system. Jesus wanted them to find the idea that was more fundamental to the rules the Pharisees were living by. They didn't see the man's life in danger. The guy's got a withered hand. Fine, come back Monday. All right? That was the issue for them. He wasn't dying. Okay, if he's dying, fine. Different story. Heimlich maneuver. But it's not. And so they would say, avoid anything that would help the process of healing. I guess on the Sabbath, it's all up to God. Jesus says, I guess it is. Be healed. Jesus wanted them to focus on this question. Can you ever limit doing good? Can you ever put a limit on doing good? Should you ever wall in the good people? Does doing good ever break the Sabbath? The whole point of the Sabbath was you're supposed to do good to people and to remember the goodness of God. A celebration of the Sabbath that caused you to refrain from doing good was insanity. So Jesus, of course, tells the man to stretch out his hand, and Jesus healed it. The Pharisees, ready, reach for the shelf now. The Pharisees, seeing the good that Jesus did for the man, worked evil in their own hearts. They begin to have murderous thoughts for Jesus. They're like Saul. The Pharisees look at Jesus actually doing good. He heals the man. And in their own hearts, evil is working. They condemn Jesus. They conspire against him. The Pharisees were concerned about pleasing God, but didn't do it because they were not like him. Likeness to God pleases him. In fact, they broke a law in that moment. The law says you're not supposed to call evil good and good evil. I think Isaiah talks about that. They were calling good evil and evil good. The good work Jesus did, they said, was evil. The evil they worked in their heart, they said, we are good. So again, it's another issue of dominion. In Jesus' kingdom, it's always lawful to do good no matter what day it is. In fact, in Jesus' kingdom, you don't get a day off from doing good. So glad it's the Sabbath. I don't have to do good to people. I'm going home, right? Not only is it lawful, it's a requirement of the kingdom. The Pharisees were not in Jesus' kingdom, and they did not accept Christ's rule and authority. They lived outside the kingdom. They lived by a different value system, a combination of laws and rules taught by men. The value system of the kingdom is sacrificial love for the benefit of others. It's not burdensome, as we talked about before. It's not a confusing list of rules and laws. Can we pick grain? Can we not pick grain? Is this too many? Did we walk too far in doing it? There's only one easy-to-remember idea, simple enough for a child to understand. The most beautiful part of the kingdom is that the king treats everyone in the kingdom with sacrificial love. He does good for you every day. He doesn't ask you to love and have mercy without first giving it to you. Jesus makes the rules for his kingdom, and they apply equally to everyone in the kingdom. Not a different set for the Pharisees to tell you what to do, or for a pastor. One set of rules. Jesus is the king of his kingdom. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's God. But his kingdom is not like the kingdom that Israel had. It's a spiritual kingdom, a different kingdom that we're in.